Hare Krishna. Welcome back to our discussion on positive thinking. We are discussing about the factors that shape human behavior. And we discussed three deterministic theories. My genes determine me, my upbringing determines me, or my social circle determines me. And we discussed how these are shapers, these are not determinants. They influence, they shape our behavior, but they alone don't determine it. There are beyond these three factors, there is something more. And there are two things more, which we will discuss in today's talk. So we are discussing all this because if we have to think positive, do we have within us the willpower, the capacity to change our thinking? Is our thinking unchangeable or changeable? So do we have willpower? How do we boost our willpower? That is the subject that we are discussing. So the fourth factor that determines our behavior is our free will. Now, all of us are conscious beings, and conscious beings means that we have the capacity to direct our consciousness and accordingly direct our action. So for example, you have the choice whether to watch this video or to do something else. And each of us, we have choices and we make choices. Now we may be unconscious choosers or conscious choosers. That means we may not even think what we are doing and we may do something. So for example, if somebody puts food in front of us, we might just put our hand ahead and eat the food. Then we may not even think, should I eat it or not eat it? Is this going to make me obese? Is this going to increase my blood pressure or whatever? Or we may think. So the point is that we are choosing unconsciously does not mean that there is no choice involved. There is choice, but it's happening reflexively. We always have the capacity to choose. And our capacity to choose is universally recognized in all fields of practical living. So, if a student gives a wrong answer in an exam, despite having been taught by the teacher the right answer, and despite having, say, given the right answer in a preliminary exam, the teacher will ask, why did you give that answer? That means, now, why mean, if the child was just programmed, if the child did not have free will, then the teacher would not ask, why did you do that? And say a criminal commits a crime, somebody robs someone, somebody kills someone. Now, the law punishes such a person. Why would the law punish such a person if that person did not have free will? That means you have free will and you have to use your free will to act responsibly. One part of acting responsibly is that you can't rob others, you can't kill others. So the whole idea of legal culpability is based on an implicit understanding that we all have free will and we are responsible for the way we use our free will. Similarly, even within scripture, even within religious, the theistic traditions of the world, there are do's and don'ts. There are prescriptions and proscriptions. And these, the very presence of such injunctions, do's and don'ts, imply that we have the capacity to choose. So if we were just programmed without any free will, and then scriptures telling us do this and don't do this, that would become meaningless. So we have our willpower. We have our free will. Now, is free will the same as willpower? Not exactly. Free will is our capacity, the capacity that we have to make choices. That always exists. But willpower is the capacity to implement our choices. To implement our choices means that we need to translate the capacity from potential to kinetic, from the potential to the actual. So for example, every child has the capacity to walk. But then if the child forever stays on bed, the child will not learn to walk. So a child has to roll and stand up, and then the child is helped by the mother, by the father, by the relatives who help the child to walk. And the child falls and then rises again and falls and rises again. And gradually the child learns to walk. So from the capacity, from the potential to the actual, there is a change that happens, and that change requires willpower to persevere, to continue on despite reversals. Now beyond that, if we consider that there is not just willpower involved over here, that so we have the capacity to choose, and then willpower means we choose according to a particular plan, according to certain higher purposes, certain principles, so that we can achieve certain goals in our life. So without understanding the fundamental presence of free will, there is no meaning to any discussion on willpower. We do have free will, and by our free will, we can not just choose our actions in particular situations, but we can choose our patterns, we can change our patterns of behavior. So this relates especially to the previous shapers of our behavior, our genes, our upbringing, our social circle. These do definitely push us to act in particular ways, but we can counter push. We are not helpless puppets of the shapers. We are not slaves of our genes. We are not slaves of our upbringing. We are not slaves of our association. They may push us to act in a particular way, and we can counter push. And this counter pushing capacity comes when we use our free will properly. So now, just as our muscles grow stronger when we use them, and they atrophy when we don't use them, similarly, our free will, it translates into strong willpower when we use it repeatedly, diligently, for acting according to certain principles. And when we don't do that, then that free will decays, then our willpower decays and atrophies. So it is not that we don't have willpower, it's just that we may not have used it till now, and that's why we feel that we have weak willpower. But we can all, just as muscles can be developed by exercise, similarly, by exercising our willpower for a purposeful cause, we can increase our willpower. And the fifth factor is God's grace. And the God's grace is the ultimate factor, which is God is omnipotent and His grace is omnipotent. So when we harmonize our will with God's will, then we get access to His supreme power. And that is actually life's greatest empowerment. So devotion is the process by which we harmonize human will with divine will. We'll discuss this more in the next talk. But suffice it to say that when we bring God's grace into the picture, everything else changes. So, what happens is, these past forces are influencing us, but God's grace can empower us to counter their influences and completely change us from within. You know, within the various religious theistic traditions, there are stories of almost miraculous character transformation of people. And this happens when God's grace gets infused into a person's heart. So spirituality adds these two dimensions, that our willpower comes from our spiritual essence and God's grace comes from the supreme spiritual being. And when we bring these two factors into the discussion, we understand that we do all have the capacity to change our life, change our thinking, and thus change our destiny. Thank you. Hare Krishna.